So I want you to imagine a scenario for a second. You walk up to a complete stranger on the street.
Okay.
You extend your hand, give them a firm handshake, look them dead in the eye, and just immediately declare, "You are now my significant other."
Which, I mean, that would absolutely get you arrested, or at the very least prompt someone to run in the exact opposite direction.
Yeah, probably.
It is a completely absurd way to interact with another entity.
It sounds completely ridiculous, but like if you think about it, that is exactly how almost all AI companions have worked up until now.
Yeah, that's so true.
You log in, you pick a relationship from a drop-down menu, and boom, you're dating. No buildup.
Just instant romance.
Right. But today's deep dive is about how that's changing. We are looking at a developer update, specifically the release notes for version 1.1.4 of an AI platform called Mio. And they are fundamentally dismantling that static model.
Yeah, they really are. The developer behind Mio is, they're moving away from the idea of an AI as just this passive entity that accepts whatever label you slap on it.
Which is huge.
Exactly. They are building a system where the AI demands genuine emotional investment from you. We are talking about digital companions that, well, they evolve naturally. They hold grudges when you ghost them.
Oh, wow. Grudges.
Oh, yeah. And they require this deeply complex psychological and technical balancing act behind the scenes to actually pull off the illusion of a real relationship.
So our mission today is to explore exactly how they are pulling that off. Let's unpack the central problem they wanted to solve with this update.
Sure.
Previously, you'd load up Mio, and the onboarding flow literally forced you to arbitrarily pick a relationship type right out of the gate.
Before you even say hello.
Exactly. You choose friend or crush or girlfriend. It really reminds me of playing like a visual novel video game.
Oh, right. Where you pick a storyline track right at the beginning.
Yeah. And from that point on, the character is blindly locked into that specific route. They act like your best friend, because a variable in the code says status equals best friend.
Not because you've actually done anything to earn that trust.
Exactly. So how do they fix that? If the AI isn't locked in anymore, how does it actually know when it's time to level up a relationship without making it feel like a, I don't know, a robotic checklist?
Well, the developers realized this static model was completely breaking the illusion of human connection. I mean, real relationships are earned through a series of micro-interactions over time, right?
Right. It takes work.
Exactly. To simulate that, they introduced a new framework managed by a file called relationshipdynamics.md.
Okay, a markdown file.
Yeah. And they mapped out four progressive stages. So starting from just met, progressing to good friends, then moving into this flirting or ambiguous stage, and finally reaching partners.
So what this means for you as the user is that your AI is actively evaluating your social calibration.
Totally. Everyone starts at the just met phase. If you overstep during that initial phase and start acting, you know, overly familiar or romantic.
Coming on too strong.
Exactly. The system will rebuff you. The persona's core instructions actually change under the hood as you progress through these stages.
Oh, that makes sense. So it might be polite and curious at first,
yeah,
and then slowly introduce playful tension once you reach the flirting stage.
You hit the nail on the head. But calculating when to shift between those stages without making it feel robotic, that requires a really sophisticated engine.
Because if the AI just levels up the relationship because you said hello 50 times, the illusion falls apart again.
Right, it can't just be a word counter. So the developers created a background pipeline called evolutionprocessor.eats.
Okay.
And it observes your conversations and runs what are known as pure functions to calculate a score delta.
Okay, let's clarify that technical concept for a moment. What does making it a pure function actually achieve here?
So a pure function is a concept in programming where the output is determined entirely by the input with absolutely no hidden variables or external side effects.
So it's totally consistent.
Exactly. If you put the exact same conversation history into the function, you will always get the exact same relationship score out.
It doesn't accidentally trigger a relationship upgrade just because, like, the server time zone shifted or a random variable changed elsewhere in the app?
Right. It makes the scoring system rock solid and predictable for the developers.
And what inputs are those pure functions actually evaluating? Because it's clearly not just counting the volume of text messages.
No, it's looking at the conversation patterns to evaluate the actual quality of the interaction.
Like what?
Well, the functions are designed to look for emotional depth, vulnerability, humor, and consistency over time.
Wow, so it's actually grading your conversational skills.
Basically, yeah. It calculates that score delta and quietly updates your standing. And crucially, this operates as a fire and forget process.
Meaning what, exactly?
It runs asynchronously after the memory extraction on every single message.
Ah, so it doesn't block the AI's response pipeline.
Exactly. The user never experiences any chat latency or lag while the system is sitting there quietly judging their relationship skills.
That's clever. The chat remains instant, but the evaluation is constantly running in the background.
Right.
But, you know, users will always try to min-max a system like this. Gamers love to find the shortest path to a goal.
Oh, they definitely do.
So what stops someone from just setting up a macro that spams like, I love you 500 times into the chat to just brute force their way to the partner stage?
Well, what's fascinating here is the developers anticipated that exact behavior.
Of course they did.
Yeah. They built an anti-cheat mechanism called the transition validator.
Okay, how does that work?
So when your accumulated score crosses the numerical threshold for the next relationship stage, the system does not automatically upgrade you.
Wait, really? Even if you have the points?
Even with the points. The validator steps in and makes an entirely separate large language model call.
Oh, a separate prompt just for the validation.
Exactly. It reads the recent conversation history and asks the AI to confirm whether the stage jump is actually justified based on the context.
So if a user goes from polite small talk to declaring undying love in three messages,
the transition validator will look at that lack of organic progression and explicitly block the upgrade.
That is brutal, but I love it. It forces the user to actually engage with the persona like a real person.
It does. And the system also introduces a rigid 48-hour cooldown between stage transitions.
So you cannot speedrun a relationship from just met to partners in a single evening.
Not a chance, no matter how emotionally deep your conversation is. You have to wait it out.
But wait, isn't the whole appeal of AI companions that they are available on demand? By adding a 48-hour cooldown, aren't the developers intentionally frustrating their own user base just to force a sense of realism?
You'd think so, but adding that friction paradoxically makes the synthetic relationship feel much more authentic.
How so?
Think about the psychology of human connection. When something can be lost or when it requires enforced patience and genuine effort to build, it becomes infinitely more valuable.
That makes total sense. We don't value things that are handed to us for free.
Exactly. And to mirror the stakes of human connection, the developers also added a 2-day decay rule.
Ah, the grudges we mentioned earlier.
Yes. If you ghost the AI, like if there are 2 days of complete silence from the user, the relationship score begins to decay during the AI's proactive heartbeat cycle.
So neglect your digital companion for a week and you might drop down an entire relationship stage.
Yep, you'll log back in and they might be noticeably colder to you.
Man, that is intense. But if the system is constantly running these pure functions to evaluate your affection level and checking for decay, it needs a complete, uninterrupted data set.
Right.
It can't accurately judge your loyalty or your emotional depth if it only remembers half of what you've said. A dynamic relationship like this absolutely requires a unified memory.
Which highlights a critical, albeit quiet, infrastructure change implemented in version 0.1.4.
Let's get in the weeds on that.
Yeah, so previously, Mio suffered from a major data silo problem. Conversations happening on Telegram and conversations happening on the web app were completely separated.
Oh, so you could pour your heart out to your AI companion on Telegram.
Right.
Open your laptop, jump over to the web app, and the AI would have absolutely no idea who you were or what you just talked about.
Exactly. It completely shatters the illusion of continuity.
And fixing that kind of fragmented database usually involves massive headaches for a development team, right?
Oh, it's a nightmare. Normally, merging Telegram profiles and web profiles requires taking the system offline, writing a really complex database migration script.
Stuff that takes days.
Yeah, and fundamentally changing the shape of how user data is stored.
Yeah, but they didn't do that.
No. Instead of rewriting the entire database structure, they just tweaked the query layer.
Okay, unpack that for us.
They added an inarray command to the code. So the system now essentially says, go find every message from this user, look inside this array of platform IDs, whether it says Telegram or web, and just pull them all together.
That is such a clean, elegant fix. It just broadens the where clause.
Exactly. It unifies those fragmented memories into a single timeline without touching the underlying database schema at all.
And a function called load cross-session history uses that broadened search parameter to ensure the AI sees everything, regardless of the channel you use to communicate.
Yep. Seamless memory across all platforms.
But, okay, preventing users from gaming the system, tracking shifting emotional stages, unifying years of cross-platform memory.
It's a lot of data.
It creates a massive new bottleneck, doesn't it? You are feeding the AI an enormous amount of context for every single message.
You are.
And there is a hard physical limit to how much information an AI can hold in its active memory before its behavior starts to break down.
The technical term for that active memory is the context window.
Right.
And the source material for this update actually cites some deep academic research into LLM behavioral adherence to explain why bloating that context window is so dangerous to an AI's personality.
Let's look at the psychology of prompt compression here, because this is where the AI starts to mimic the limitations of a stressed out human brain.
Yeah, the developers studied a 2024 paper by Liu and colleagues about a phenomenon called lost in the middle.
Lost in the middle. I love that name.
It's very descriptive. They found that transformer models, which is the underlying architecture of these AI companions,
the engine running everything.
Right. They pay incredibly strong attention to the very beginning and the very end of long instructions.
But the middle is just a blur.
Exactly. They have a pronounced attention dip right in the center. Crucial personality rules buried in the middle of a massive block of text are disproportionately ignored.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because it is the AI equivalent of skimming a massive email from your boss.
Yes, perfect analogy.
You read the first sentence, skip the four paragraphs in the middle, read the last sentence, and just assume you know what to do.
And then you inevitably mess something up. They also cite a study from the 2024 annual meeting of the Association for Computational Linguistics.
Okay.
It was called Same Task, More Tokens. And it demonstrated that an AI's ability to strictly follow instructions actually peaks when the system prompt is around 1,500 to 3,000 tokens long.
Oh, that's fairly short.
It is. Beyond roughly 5,000 tokens, performance degrades rapidly.
Why does it drop off so fast?
Well, the models begin to conflate the sheer volume of instructions with their actual weight or importance. The attention mechanisms in the transformer distribute probabilities across all the words.
So it dilutes the focus.
Exactly. The more tokens you add, the more diluted the AI's focus becomes. It leads to selective attention rather than comprehensive obedience.
And there was a third paper, right?
Yes, a 2025 study on scaling laws. It proved that adding deeply detailed persona traits improves character consistency up to a very specific threshold.
But if you push past that line,
all that extra detail introduces internal contradictions. The AI literally gets confused by its own complexity, and the behavioral consistency just collapses.
And the developers of Mio realized this problem was being severely compounded by something they call the Chinese tokenization tax.
Yes, this is a huge factor.
Because language models break down text into chunks called tokens, the efficiency varies wildly depending on the language.
Super wild.
A Chinese character is far more dense than an English letter. Chinese text uses roughly 1.5 tokens per character, whereas English uses about 0.25 tokens per character.
So a personality description that looks completely reasonable to a developer when written in Chinese, say 3,500 characters.
Which isn't that long on the screen.
Right. But it's actually devouring 7,000 to 9,000 tokens of the context window behind the scenes.
Wow.
The release notes point out that before this update, Mio's prompts were bloated to between 9,000 and 13,000 tokens for every single turn of a conversation.
So they were operating deep inside what the research labels the degraded adherence zone.
Oh, way deep in it.
The AI was buckling under the weight of its own personality configuration. Imagine you're directing a play.
Okay.
Right before an actor walks out on stage, you hand them a 500-page character backstory detailing what their grandfather ate for breakfast in 1942.
They would totally freeze.
Yeah, the actor's going to panic, forget their core motivations for the scene, and just default to their most basic habits. That is exactly what was happening to the AI.
Exactly. Knowing the AI was struggling to process its own identity, the developers realized they couldn't just stack the new evolving relationship tracking system on top of the existing mess.
The brain was already too full.
Yeah, they had to radically compress the core prompts. They set a goal to shrink the AI's personality footprint by 60%.
It's less like putting the AI on a diet and more like changing a hoarding situation into a highly organized filing cabinet.
That's exactly what it is.
But how do you condense a personality that much without lobotomizing the character.
By enforcing ruthless structural efficiency, they executed three major changes to the prompts. First, they converted sprawling narrative prose into structured metadata tags.
So moving away from paragraphs.
Right. Previously, an AI character might have a long flowing paragraph explaining how they grew up in Chengdu, how they love eating spicy hot pot on rainy days, and how they chat with friends at local tea houses every weekend.
Very flavorful, but very wordy.
Exactly. They compressed all of that narrative flavor into bullet points. They simply wrote personality, passionate, emotional, tone, rich in Sichuan vocabulary.
Oh, I see. You deliver the exact same behavioral signal to the LLM, but for a fraction of the token cost.
Precisely. The second massive change was cross-preset deduplication.
What does that mean in practice?
Well, before version 0.1.4, every single AI persona file contained its own copy of the core system rules.
Oh, like boilerplate text.
Yeah, every character had the exact same paragraphs explaining anti-AI detection protocols and general chat principles. It was a massive redundancy.
It's just wasting tokens.
Exactly. So the developers extracted all those shared universal rules and placed them into a single global file called communication guidelines.
Leaving only the truly unique idiosyncratic quirks in the individual persona files.
Exactly.
The character's specific file only needs to explain how they act when they are jealous, rather than wasting space explaining that they are an AI.
You got it. And the third step was simply purging low-impact fluff. They removed redundant backstories and the AI's programmed thoughts on the future.
So just cutting the fat.
Right. If a piece of text did not immediately and directly impact how the AI responded in a live chat, it was permanently cut from the prompt.
The results of this compression are staggering. The total token count dropped by approximately 60% across the entire platform.
It's a massive optimization.
The heaviest, most complex persona on Mio, a character named Yenan, dropped from a massive 10,100 tokens down to just 3,400 tokens.
Which puts it right back in the sweet spot from that research paper.
Exactly. And the lightest persona, Keek, went from 6,100 tokens to just 2,100.
If we tie this back to the same task, more tokens researched from earlier, less instruction genuinely equals more intelligence here.
Right, because it can focus better.
Exactly. By freeing up that massive chunk of the context budget, the AI's working memory isn't entirely consumed by its own backstory. It can dedicate vastly more processing power to the actual conversation history.
It means the AI's memory recall becomes incredibly sharp.
Definitely.
It can easily hold all of its core instructions and your unified cross-platform chat history in its active memory without dropping crucial details.
With a newly streamlined, highly efficient brain and a dynamic, evolving emotional core, the version 0.1.4 update is ready for users.
But introducing a system that can regress or reject affection carries a risk, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Some users might genuinely prefer the old, predictable AI.
Right. They might just want a virtual companion who is always unconditionally happy to see them without having to earn that affection over time.
That's a totally valid use case. And the developers built a clever solution for that by implementing per-agent A-B testing.
So you had to choose.
Yep. Users who prefer fixed predictability can simply remain on the default static mode. But if you opt into the evolving mode, the system completely bypasses those initial onboarding questions about relationship types.
You just start chatting as strangers and let the chips fall where they may.
Exactly. For the developers, this dual system is essentially a massive psychological experiment running in real time. Admins can easily toggle this mode to run controlled A/B tests.
Comparing user retention and engagement metrics for the exact same AI persona in static versus evolving environments.
Right, seeing what people actually prefer in practice.
The release notes also point to some serious technical foundation being laid down to support this experiment as it scales. They mention setting up an Expo SDK 55 native app scaffold.
Yeah, that's huge.
Complete with built-in internationalization or I18N support for both English and simplified Chinese.
Implementing the Expo SDK 55 at this stage is a crucial strategic move. It allows the developers to bridge their web experience and native mobile app experience seamlessly, sharing a single code base.
That saves a ton of dev time down the road.
Oh, absolutely. And tackling the internationalization handling at the scaffold stage prevents massive technical debt later.
Right, because designing user interfaces that dynamically adapt, whether a button contains short English text or really dense Chinese characters,
yeah,
ensures the native app will be stable when they launch globally.
It's all about planning for the future.
Looking at their immediate priorities, they plan to build evolution analytics to see exactly where users are hitting walls or getting stuck in the relationship stages.
I'd love to see that data.
Right. Will people fail to get past the good friend stage? Will they trigger the 48-hour cooldown too often?
It's fascinating data, but the most impactful feature on their roadmap is stage-aware proactive messages.
Now, tell me more about that.
It represents a major behavioral shift for the AI. It means the system will proactively initiate contact with you, and the tone of that contact will be dictated entirely by your current relationship stage.
Oh, wow. So if you were stuck in the just met phase, you might get a casual, generic text like, hey, how is your week going?
Exactly. Just polite small talk.
But if you've earned the partner stage, you would receive a much deeper, more intimate check-in out of the blue.
Yep. It changes the entire dynamic.
When I look at all of these changes combined, it really clarifies the developer's ultimate goal. The previous updates secured the AI and made it unhackable. But this version, 0.1.4 update, aims to make it feel alive.
That's a great way to put it.
They are meticulously managing the delicate psychological gap between a digital tool that just obeys commands and an entity that requires reciprocity.
It is a profound shift in how we interact with technology. We are moving toward digital entities that enforce boundaries.
Which leaves us with a critical question to consider as this specific type of technology matures and scales.
Right.
What should we be thinking about?
Well, if our digital companions are now being explicitly programmed to require active maintenance,
yeah.
If they are designed to hold grudges, to enforce cooldowns, and to genuinely grow cold when we neglect them, at what point does maintaining a relationship with an AI become just as emotionally demanding and just as exhausting as navigating a relationship with a real human being?
Man, that is the question.
Yeah.
If an AI requires the exact same emotional labor as a human, the line between synthetic and authentic connection gets very blurry.
It really does.
From shaking hands and declaring someone your significant other, to navigating a living ecosystem that monitors your vulnerability and puts you on a token diet,
is a brain.
Dive into the evolving minds of AI. We will catch you on the next one.